Nick Flanagan sometimes joins Danko and co-hosts the podcast, and it's a real treat listening to Nick and Danko banter back and forth. I'm a huge fan of Nick's old punk bands, the Brutal Knights and Teen Crud Combo, and I've seen his stand-up comedy several times as well, and he is really funny. The Danko Jones Podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan is Danko's co-host, hello for free. I'm so glad I like to sometimes
get me in from fucked up. Stop playing, hang down, down. The Danko Jones Podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan is Danko's co-host. Download for free on SoundCloud and iTunes. Sometimes Damien from Fucked Up stops by and hangs out too.
Welcome to the official Danko Jones Podcast. Here's your hosts, Danko Jones and Nick Flanagan.
Hey!
Hey!
I think everyone was getting tired of just me. So you're here, Nick.
Yeah, I'm in the house.
From L.A.
Mm.
Now, if people are wondering why Nick Flanagan hasn't been on the podcast for quite a while.
A dog's age.
I don't know if we made an announcement or anything, but you moved to L.A.
I relocated.
Because that's where all the comedians live.
Well, yes. I acquired the means to work in America, and now I'm trying to do that, unsuccessfully.
Well, you're back in town for a week, so while you're here, I figured, hey, I'll just grab you and we'll do this. But, like, what are we going to do? We're not going to, like, we have no guest here.
Nobody. They all said no. We didn't ask anybody.
And so this is kind of the, you know, year ago, give or take a month, we did a Q&A.
Has it been a year? When was the last time I was on an episode?
Ooh.
Long time ago. I feel like every episode, by the way, it's like, you're like, hey, Nick, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I'm on fire. You know, a lot of problems.
So
not that I've said that yet.
We decided to throw it out into the Twitterverse and the social media world, mm-hmm. and have everyone do a second yearly annual Q&A with Nick and I. And we got a lot of response. The first question we have was the very first person who answered, and they go by Dub Nation at Warrior Soilers.
Shout out to Dub Nation Warrior Soilers.
You're going to give a shout out to every single person?
I might. I haven't decided yet. We'll see how long. Dub Nation, man, that sounds like a nice nation.
Their question was, do you know of another Wicked Lester / Kiss band name stories that may have changed rock music?
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Were Kiss called Wicked Lester?
They were, yeah. And then they changed their name. I mean, the only ones that come to mind very quickly was Mammoth.
What were they called?
They were called Mammoth, and then they changed their name to Van Halen.
Right. Wasn't there a band? What band had Argent in them?
Argent.
Which band was that?
Argent.
But weren't they members of something as well?
Oh, I don't know.
Fleetwood Mac had a different name, didn't they?
No, they just have different members, right?
Right. Okay, this isn't working for me so far.
Well, there you go. Hey, that's your answer, Dub Nation.
Let's go here.
It's hard to just think of
Two Chainz.
Okay.
Two Chainz, as very famously, the rapper Two Chainz, Chainz, was part of Ludacris's Disturbing the Peace posse, and he was called Titty Boy.
Oh.
T-I-T-Y Boy.
Okay.
And then he changed the name. Because, you know, you
Is that
might
because
not...
of TT Boy that a lot of people may
Right,
may
the porn star.
Know?
I mean, I think probably that's part of it, and also it's something where, like, Titty Boy might be an acceptable name for, like, a 20-year-old, I guess. But when he's, like, 30-something or whatever, it's like, I'm Titty Boy.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? You know.
But I also have like 3 kids and they're in, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Montessori school.
Hey, I met the parent teacher interviews.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Titty Boy. Now, if he's in the parent teacher interviews, people are like, Titty Boy was just part of his idea. You know?
Like, not I do love Ludacris. I'm a big Ludacris fan.
I'm not a big Ludacris. Oh. I mean, I think Ludacris, wow. I had a unappealing. It's not really his fault, but it was like when I was freelance writing and I was probably 24 years old, I did. Ludacris was one of my very, very first phone interviews.
He was rude.
Super terse. Of course, he was talking to like an alternative weekly in Toronto. You know, like he was attracting about 7 people to his show.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true because I think his fan base would mostly have been like the types of people who would read it alternative. You know what I mean? Because he's kind of like, he was like almost original, like hipstery rap or something.
Really?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I never got that vibe.
Because he was just like funny and punchlines and, you know, kind of like was willing to play a role, I think. You know, he was kind of like, hey, I'll shoot you. And you're like, you're not going to shoot anybody, Ludacris, for sure. And, you know, and I see him on radio shows now, and he's always like bragging about making money off like 2 Chainz because it's still from his stuff. And just he just seems arrogant. And only his singles are good. Straight up, his albums are butt.
I got 4 of them over there.
Yeah, do you listen to them a lot? Or do you listen to Southern Hospitality?
I listen to the singles.
I'm not going to argue with his singles and his cameos. And that's a great... This is like immediately jumping into rap talk. That's a great type of rapper is like when you're just like singles and good guest appearances. But it doesn't put you in like a top 100 even, you know?
Well, for a question that led with Kiss, so we seem to have turned this into a discussion on Ludacris.
Bashing Ludacris.
You're bashing him. I'm not bashing him.
My Ludacris agenda inside. I don't know why I'm so mad at Ludacris.
Yeah.
He has an appealing face.
Let's move on to the second question here. Rock Metal La Le Cake Pie, who goes by at Rosie White. They ask, do you think the main stage at the Download Festival should be called the Lemmy stage for more than just 1 year as proposed? So I guess in tribute to Lemmy passing, Lemmy Kilmister of Motorhead, Download has named one of the stages this year the Lemmy stage, which I think is nice and respectful. And this person is just saying, should this just be the Lemmy stage from now on? And you know what? I agree. I think it should.
I mean, yeah, you could do it.
Okay.
But what if you're having like sneaker pimps on the stage? Then it's weird. They're like, hey, trip-hop fans, come to the Lemmy stage.
At Wacken, we've played at Wacken
the stage off.
Called the Black Metal stage, and we're a rock and roll band. And
but you love black metal.
No, but it doesn't matter. Like, nobody really bats an eye. It's just the name of the stage. And if you really want to, you know...
What if
Download would never book the sneaker pimps? So what are we talking about?
Times change. You know?
Download is a heavy music festival. So yeah, I think any band that would play Download would at least have heard of Motorhead and love at least one song.
Would Metallica do a thing where they play Download, but they play all of Load at Download? And there's a you can download it?
I'm not sure. But I have seen Metallica at Download.
And they played most of Load.
They played about 6 or 7 songs that night because Lars Ulrich was not on stage with them.
Why?
This is going back 2004. Lars Ulrich was, they said, was taken to the hospital for something. And so they got Joey Jordison, they got Dave Lombardo, they got Lars's tech to play during the set. So they did a kind of a short set, shorter one that they, but you know.
Must have been a real greatest hits too, right?
Yeah, it was, if I remember correctly, Dave Lombardo did 4 Horsemen.
Mm.
I can't remember what they all did. I think their tech did Nothing Else Matters, you know, whatever. Anyways, that's that question.
Well, we didn't get to really how I feel about it.
Okay.
I'm pro.
Okay, thank you.
What else? What was it named before?
I don't know.
Stage 2?
Maybe. I don't know.
Stage B?
Probably.
The metal stage.
Maybe. Okay, so the next question is from our friend, an old guest of the podcast, and my ex-roommate, Mr. Brendan Canning, wants to know, and he's at Canning B. Brendan wants to know, do I need to move to Hamilton for a bigger yard?
That's really...
That's up
very
to him.
Personal question. Yeah, that's kind
the thing
of like
is,
saying.
I never knew Brendan to really dwell too long in the backyard when I was living there. So, no.
Yeah, I mean, you ever hang out in a backyard? It's an invitation to for gnats to fly in your nose and mouth.
Well, basically. Maybe he's gotten into gardening while, you know,
since I left. Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, maybe he has.
And for any background on anybody listening who isn't from the greater Toronto area, then...
Hamilton is an hour away from Toronto.
And everybody's
leaving Toronto to go to Hamilton.
A lot of people are moving out and trying to act like it's normal that they're moving to this... You know, other city. They're trying to pretend like, oh, it's so close, and you know, I'll come back on weekends, and you know, it's like you're not at Subway right away. You're actually during peak hours, probably like an annoying commute away, and then you're in Hamilton, which is fine.
And we've had Hamiltonians on this podcast.
Lots of great music out of Hamilton.
I've had George Pettit and Megan Pettit
recorded good. I've done good shows in Hamilton, you know.
Kevin Pankow lives in Hamilton. Okay. Now Stuart Berman lives in Hamilton. And
keeps going.
Yeah, some good Hamilton.
This Ain't Hollywood is a great place, you know.
Who's from Hamilton? Are the Diodes from Hamilton? No, Teenage Head's from.
Teenage Head. Forgotten Rebels. You know, Simply Saucer.
Simply Saucer, that's who I was thinking.
You know.
Some good Hamilton.
Sailboats Are White if you're going years later to like an interesting band from Hamilton.
We were on a Hamilton label back in the day.
Hamilton's always had, I would say, it's a consistent music scene. You know, like...
Double Creature features.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. And so, yeah, everyone's moving to Hamilton. Much like when there was that article in the New York Times. I mean, much like this thing that happened to New York, because Toronto is like New York, where there was an article about Philadelphia being like the new Brooklyn, where everyone's moving from New York because they can't afford... But it's like 2 hours away. So it's really like... You're just moving to a different city.
You're moving.
And, you know, it's the new city.
Okay. Well, the next question is The Mad Dalton asks, he goes by at The Mad Dalton. Will you both come
Hi,
to
Peter.
Belf? You know this guy?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, what's his name?
Peter.
Okay. So Peter, The Mad Dalton asks, will you both come to Belfast for a joint Canadian love-in?
Sure, yeah.
Love Belfast. We were just there last year.
I'd love to go to Belfast.
We had a great show.
Never been to Belfast, nor Derry, nor Ireland. Never been to Galway.
We had
Dublin.
We always have a good time in Ireland and Belfast. Great show, and sure.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So
please find a way to invite me to do whatever there.
Yeah,
perform.
What would the two of us do there?
Spoken
Podcast?
Word.
Spoken word.
Two spoken word sets.
What would I talk about? What would
I don't
you
know.
Could do your set, but what am I going to talk about?
Could talk
you?
About no.
Talk about you.
You could do a Q&A live.
Oh man, Jesus. Okay, so next question by Phil Rind of Sacred Reich asks two questions, and they're huge.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
What is the meaning of life?
Right. Just gotta wait it out.
Yeah, yeah, that would be my answer to actually to wait it out.
It's a game of patience.
You know? And then the second question, Phil's second question is, who is the one person you would love to interview for your podcast?
Well,
good
that's
question.
Such, yeah, there's a long list.
But wait a minute. Besides the obvious ones, like you know, everybody would probably say, oh, I want to. Interview, you know, Mick Jagger,
or
I want to interview like fucking
Obama.
Yeah, Obama. Like, okay, put those kinds of characters aside.
Clinton,
like someone who's like, first of all, I would say Phil Rind is someone I want on the podcast, and I've told him this a couple of times. It just has time has to permit.
But that's a very you can't. When he asks you that question, and you say you're the person I most want on that podcast.
Well, you think he was fishing for that answer?
I mean, I just think that's like a, you know, you can't do that. That's like if, you know.
But I do want him on the podcast.
It would be great to have him, though. Yeah.
I've asked him a couple of times, actually.
Where are they based out of? Where's he based out of at this point? Is that allowed?
Phoenix.
Phoenix.
No, but him and I can do it via Skype.
Skype.
So that's what we'll do. But it's just a matter of, you know, scheduling.
Come on, man. We got to have
other than,
you.
Other than Phil, some of the other people that I guess I can disclose, like how close I was to getting other people onto this podcast with Bill Gould from Faith No More. It was all set up. We figured it all out. And then Faith No More's bus was held up at the border. And we, you know, they just had to go straight to the gig. So that was something that I wish I could have gotten. But I guess I could have if I had pushed long enough, because I think they were here for an extra day. But that was something that, you know, hopefully in the future I'll be able to chase Bill down.
You know what would be good? I think it would be so cool to have John Brannon on the show.
Mm.
It would be the best.
And I still don't have a confirm on whether or not it's really John Brannon on Twitter.
I got a confirm. It's not him.
It seems real, like John it is, because it's like
very. But it's somebody who works with him and is quoting him and just runs to Twitter with it.
Does John know that?
I would imagine at this point it's a pretty popular account, isn't it? It's like,
I don't know.
It's got thousands of followers.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
But
they all know who he is.
I'd love to have him on. He would be someone I would totally love to have
that
on.
That would be great.
Okay, so that's more of an answer to that question. Go. I'd love to have Mark Arm. Now you got me started.
Well, let's
Mark
just say
Arm, I'd love
anyone
to have
from the 90s. David Yao would be interesting.
Okay, there you go.
Judah Bauer.
Okay, how about like locally? Like locally that we haven't mined yet.
Ontario locals?
That a lot of people would know outside of Canada. That is, you know, possible, like a possible hangout that we could possibly, like that they would know, people outside of Canada would know. That we should get on the, like Scott Thompson, we've gotten that, I think that.
I actually think it would be really fun to have Owen Pallett on the show. And
I would love to, I'd love to have him on. Is he in Toronto or Montreal?
He's in Montreal now, but he is local to me. And like, you know.
Can you get him on?
I mean, I'm sure he would do the podcast if he was available.
And then what's Buddy's name that we almost got? We should talk about that. We almost got him on.
Who was it? Which one?
Arrested Development.
Oh, well, I don't know if we never asked him.
Oh, we didn't?
No, that we didn't even get that far. Yeah, there was like no situation where they could do it. We were trying to get Michael Cera, but
So the next question is Mad Anthony, who is @_MadAnthony. Anthony wants to know.
I hope he's crazy, not angry. You know what I'm saying?
Three rock bands we've likely not heard of, but should check out. You got three?
I add one, for sure.
Okay.
Okay, well, first of all, check out Sailboats Are White Turbo. That's an old album, surprisingly really awesome, just made on, like, a laptop in 2004 or something by some guys from Hamilton. It's really, it's like lo-fi digital punk, but before it was cool. And Cell Phone are another.
Oh, Cell Phone are great.
Yeah, I just retweeted, you know, they just had their new album on the Fader.
Someone sent me their demo.
Yeah, they've been a band I've really liked for a long time. They really do their own thing.
They're a local band. Not a lot of people would
know. So I think so. But they also are a band that's trying to do something.
Yeah, you know.
So, Cell Phone.
What's your third one?
Let's see. That's a good question. Some new music that's
While you're thinking, I'll just drop my three.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the band that I saw yesterday, which they aren't really underground. They're actually getting super popular now. Mm-hmm. But King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are incredible from Australia. And then I would say Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel from London. They're amazing. Those two bands have huge, long-ass names. Mm-hmm. And that's because they're incredible bands. They can afford to be that long. And then the third one I would say would be maybe Pharaoh Overlord, Quickly Thinking, or Night Flight Orchestra, or rock, right? We're talking about rock music, I would say Satan Satyrs, Mojave Lords, Endless Boogie.
I will go with my third band now. I might have even mentioned them on this podcast before, but Total Control are really good.
Oh.
Out of
I've heard about.
I think they're Australian, but if they're New Zealanders, I'm very sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so they're in that part of the world.
They're sort of like, you know, adjacent to Straitjacket Nation, Eddie Current Suppression Ring, but they're they have this sort of almost post-punk, almost, you know, synth sound, but it's really good, really really good.
Yeah. Okay, so the next question is Mac Collum at Mac Collum asks, rank the last 5 Iron Maiden tours, and if you haven't seen them, what is your problem? I haven't seen the last 5 Iron Maiden tours, and my problem is I'm on tour myself. And Kuma underscore Nabe.
Oh, yeah.
At the Kuma Nabe wants to know, what's your favorite film? What type of film do you like? And then in brackets, and I'm still waiting for Teen Cred Combo on iTunes. That was nice.
Yes, I thought that was nice. Although it did remind me that
Teen Cred Combo, your old band.
My old band.
With Allison
Baker.
From Dirty Ghosts.
Yeah, she plays a bit with Kelly Stoltz sometimes now too.
So what is your favorite film?
Well, it's like
crazy. What type of film do you like?
I feel like when you have to really say what is your current favorite film.
I got one.
Okay.
Well, and I have the type.
What's yours?
Because I realized it.
Yeah.
The one genre of movie that never fails to entertain me is Kung Fu. And my favorite film is 5 Deadly Venoms. It has to be.
I haven't seen that for years.
Because it's the one film that I get the most joy out of whenever I hear it said.
Right. So by default, that's a good title. Kung Fu has the best titles.
And some people call it Five Venoms.
Five Deadly Venoms.
The Five Venoms. But whatever it is, everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's a Shaw Brothers movie. All the Shaw Brothers films are amazing. Like any Kung Fu movie, I'm not an aficionado.
You've probably seen a lot.
But yeah, like when I broke it down, I just realized that that's the one genre of film that gives me the most pleasure, you know? And I'm not as disappointed I see it as much as other genres of film.
Well, I mean, because it's so... It's a really interesting genre because I mean, it's kind of like is it still an existing genre, would you say?
I don't know.
Like, is the raid kung fu? It's a fighting style, right?
It comes back and it comes but in, you know, cycles.
I think when you're talking about a kung fu movie, you're talking about, especially to people who know, you're really talking about...
Shaw Brothers.
Jackie Chan, Jet Li,
Not
Sammo
so much
Hung.
Jackie Chan, but
well,
Jet Li.
Well, I think Jackie Chan has been in a million kung fu movies.
Drunk Master, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, what you're really talking about to me...
No, I'm sorry for just dismissing him. Yeah. No, Jackie Chan, when I think about it.
But great. Now we're finding out the Panama Papers, you know.
Right.
Maybe we can't talk about Jackie Chan.
Yeah, I think I posted something on my personal Facebook like...
I hate.
Fuck this guy. No, but anyways, what's your favorite film?
Well, I have to say that at the moment, you know...
No, you got to just say it.
I don't know, the Pine Barrens episode of The Sopranos, right? You know?
That's not a film.
It's close
to a
film.
That's a TV show. And yeah, The Sopranos are probably tied with Three's Company is my favorite TV show.
So if we're not talking about TV,
no.
If we're not doing that.
Film. Movie. Star Wars.
No. But Force Awakens was good.
Yeah. Private Parts.
No. I mean, good for Howard Stern for making that. Let's see.
Man Bites Dog.
I never saw Man Bites Dog. That was... a 90s movie about, you know, the power of press.
I think shovel anything 90s in this.
I'm all about the 90s
category.
And the Doors lately. I'm going to go foreign with it. And I'm going to say that the movie Small Change by François Truffaut very special movie.
You're just saying that to be fucking arty and intellectual.
If we're talking about something that makes me happy... I mean, you know, both giving video store picks. You saying kung fu movies is the same as some guy.
Oh, come on. That was played on WUTV, Buffalo 29.
Small Change is a really neat movie that has an all-children
WUTV, Buffalo 29, never played a Truffaut movie.
Hugely influential on, like, Steven Spielberg. So a small change. And then let's go super pop with it. If I want to talk about something that makes me really happy, I'm going to go very controversial.
E.T.
No, that movie's like watching a piece of poo talk. It should be called like a documentary on Mr. Hanky or something. Nobody wants to see that. You know, nobody wants to see E.T. I don't know if that's a supportable argument, but it is really creepy that he just recut it and took out the penis breath thing.
I didn't know that.
That line of dialogue about where they call him penis breath, they took it out, which makes me think, I mean, why? Anyway, but it is Spielberg, though. Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. I'm going with the third Indiana Jones.
I can't argue with that, although that was seen as racist.
They were seen as racist.
No, that one in particular.
No, right? I don't think so.
Or is that Temple of Doom?
Yes. Okay. Temple of Doom.
I'm getting them mixed up.
Temple of Doom is the one that you're watching and you're just like,
they're eating
blindsided by the amount of, like,
yeah,
sort of using cultures as a joke. And then
basically, right?
That movie, Indiana Jones Temple of Doom, is interesting because I think both George Lucas and Steven Spielberg were going through divorces at the time. And they wrote that script, and it's got this kind of like, it feels angry at the world. But Last Crusade is the one with Sean Connery as the dad, and, you know, Denham Elliott is back in it, and it's, you know, it's kind of goofy. I don't know. And I just think it's a really good one.
Stacy D at Stacy Dre wants to know, with so many episodes under your belt, what are some of your favorite moments? Okay, so what are some of your favorite podcast moments on this podcast? Not your podcast history with other podcasts, but specifically on this one.
Oh, I just remembered a good guest. It would be great to have Dave Hill in here.
Imagine oh, my that. God. That would That'd be amazing.
Cool. He's cool.
Okay, great. So next
question. Good moments are, you have so many more because you have all these tours.
Yeah, but interviews. I mean, what were yours? I mean,
I know. It's like you said, it's always a nice conversation. So, it's always like a relaxed conversation. So it's kind of, it really is generally most of the time because we just have people in here and we have like a nice talk. Yeah,
let's just say that.
So like, and we've said it before, like the Scott Thompson one.
Yeah,
I would just say it's just too. So fun listening to him talk about stuff. He really relishes.
That was a great day.
Expressing himself.
Like usually, you know, the podcast is done in an hour. We have lunch and then
it was like an entire toodaloo. Day though.
Yeah, but it was a whole day with Scott. So that. And we picked them up. We dropped them off. It was a huge to-do.
Leslie and Brennan was a fun time. We had them
in
here.
That was fun, too. I mean, you name me any episode,
yeah, exactly.
And I'll say amazing.
They're just like, it's just
Damien
like
coming down, like, a whole bunch of times.
It's like having
great.
People over for tea.
Yeah,
you know, it's just
great.
Like, it's hard to really say. But then you're in a very different environment when you're interviewing people on the road.
For me, beyond the episodes with you, I would say when I was on my own, Henry Rollins was definitely something that I keep talking about. That episode, all the stuff off the mic or that didn't make it onto an audio podcast was interesting.
What was that?
I mean, Henry was, I don't mean to throw him under the bus, but he was very guarded. I threw this idea at him and if I was in the same position, I don't know if I would agree to it, but he did. So, I mean, that was nice of him.
Yeah.
And then I kind of wore him down during the episode because he was just like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, I want to go. And then the only way I knew to break him down was to talk about what he loves and like a shared hobby of ours, which is like collecting records. So I just talked about, you know, buying records. And so he kind of broke down a bit. And by the end of the podcast, when I turned off the mics, you know, we had a nice exchange.
Yeah.
And that's how we left it. And I always thought that was a great episode for me personally.
Right.
And then Duff, you know, being on the podcast twice, three times.
Yeah.
In three different locations. And then Barrett Martin from Screaming Trees and Walking Papers. We always have great talks.
I had another dream guest, and I know you're going to agree with me.
Okay.
Dice.
Oh, but that's like...
Sure,
that's
it's like
Mick
Iggy
Jagger,
Pop.
Barack Obama category, Iggy
But it's
Pop.
A little bit more possible.
It would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be the best?
Yeah.
We could all do our impressions of him to his face.
If he goes on for 2 hours, I would keep all 2 hours.
It's going in unedited.
He's awesome.
Yeah. Sorry, I interrupted that.
And because of Don Jameson, who's also been a guest on this podcast, mm-hmm. I ended up spending, like, I don't know, an hour and a half with Dice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was so much fun because when you hang out with Dice, it's like a private show.
Yeah.
A private routine. I heard about that.
Someone told me a funny Dice story. I heard this funny Dice story.
I spent like an hour with the guy or an hour and a half with the guy, and he was just doing what he could have been doing on stage. And it was, I was like rolling on the floor like in tears. So, yeah, that would be amazing. Okay, the next one is Michael at Mike SOCD 101.
Sup?
You know this guy?
I mean, Twitter. We communicate.
What goes on fish taco with chow mein noodles? Exactly that. Right? But I think he wants to know, like, what goes into a fish taco? Like, what? I think he wants to know what a fish taco with chow mein noodles tastes like.
Well, that's like your... I mean, I've been in L.A., man. I've been in L.A. with the real talks, you know?
Yeah. Oh, hey. Those are fighting words, man. Chino Locos. Let me tell everybody what Chino Locos is, because I introduce them at the top of every podcast, and I say, when I want a fish burrito, I want it stuffed with chow mein noodles. It might seem like Chino Locos, like, gives me money for advertising, but they do not. I don't get any money from Chino Locos. I say their name because I am just a huge fan of that place.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that exists in the city that I live in. And that'll be that.
And then there's other places that have chow. But let me tell you right now. There's all these fish taco places in the neighborhood I'm living in.
In Los Angeles.
I mean, like Los Feliz, Silver Lake. Not for much longer, so don't track me down. But you got Best Fish Tacos of Ensenada. Then... this is on Hillhurst Street. Down the street, you've got Ricky's Fish Tacos. These places hate each other, apparently. But here's what drives me crazy. They both offer only deep-fried fish, battered fish. Give me a grilled fish. I don't want just, right. like... So...
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
That's my beef.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
That's my beef with fish, you know?
Well, then can I say that Chino Locos...
Grilled. Yeah. I found some grilled fish tacos, and now I'm happy. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, people, we don't all want fried food. America has an obesity epidemic, and probably Canada has a worse one, but we just don't admit it. So let's fix our fried food fixation and our celebrity culture thing and what else is there. And if you want to send me money, I've got a PayPal account you can hook me up with.
All right. The next question is from... your friend, and I guess my friend, I've known him for quite a long time, but we don't really hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Trowbridge, a.k.a.
Chico.
He has two questions. The first one is, and they're very good questions.
He's
Thank
a professional.
Thank you, Chico.
Works at CBC's
Day
6.
Yeah, he
is
a producer, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got to hit a certain level if he's going to ask us a question. So,
uh-huh.
And he did. What's the most hostile performance you've ever seen by a band or a comic? What was the polar opposite of that, the most positive, unifying show you ever saw? And which was the better show? That's a hard question. I don't know.
Well, they're just such different feelings to see two kinds of shows. But they come together because if... you've seen so many shows at this point.
That's why it was hard.
Yeah.
But the only way I can gauge it is if something happened to me. Like, not necessarily like a hostile performance on stage that... berated the audience or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the time I saw Monster Voodoo Machine and Pitch Shifter, and we just had Adam Sewell on, because somebody kept like moshing,
mm-hmm.
and like the same person kept running into me. And
yeah.
I wasn't moshing. I was just on the perimeter of the mosh pit.
Yeah.
And I got really, that was the last time I got really fucking angry at somebody.
Right.
In a mosh pit or at a show where I kind of grabbed him and I knew he could beat the hell out of me, but I had a couple of people watching my back. And so that was like, and it wasn't because of Monster Voodoo Machine or Pitch Shifter. It was just like, I walked away going, fuck. like I almost got into a fight with somebody over, I was just standing there.
I mean, that's a different, I feel like that's like a slightly different.
Well, that's hostile.
That's definitely a hostile But, I mean, if we're talking about the show.
No, I cannot think.
Well, I got two shows that immediately come to mind that I've seen. You know, one is...
Don't say Danzig.
No, I never saw a Hostile Danzig performance.
I did. I saw Danzig, like, jump off the stage and punch someone.
Yeah, no, that's definitely... I've heard about that.
I guess that's a Hostile.
Yeah, that's. I think that must be more what he means.
There's another one that I saw, but I can't because I've since become friends with that person. Uh-huh. So I'm not going
to
say.
Well, you know, I'm not... Don't mean to speak... Bring up ill memories of the dead, but... Jay Retard, you know, I was at the show that we opened up, I think.
That's a classic show. You Brutal opened Nights that
opened.
Show?
Yeah, we played the show. We opened the show where he, I think we, maybe we didn't. But I think we did. It was us and then CPC Gangbangs. And then Jay Retard played. And then we opened for his redo show.
Which band is
at
this?
Sneaky
Killer
D's.
Elite? Killer Elite?
No, Brutal Nights.
Brutal Nights.
And, I was at the show where he punched this guy in the face.
Right.
And for messing with his amp. And I was at another show at South by Southwest that was like the ASAP family, like ASAP Ferg and ASAP Rocky. And, you know, it was one of these shows. It's like, it's one of the reasons. It's like the kind of show that makes you start hating going to shows. Because it was like South by Southwest, this all-night party that went till like whenever, but like you couldn't leave. You know, like once you're in, like you have to stay. It's like free booze, you know, free Pabst and Tecate or whatever, and just this massive venue. So the ASAP family's playing. It was the second time I'd seen them that day, and they were getting aggressive with the crowd because they felt weren't they felt like the crowd was getting aggressive with them. And eventually, one of the guys jumps into the crowd and starts like fighting with members of the crowd, and then other people do, and it's just like. Both of those experiences were definitely not as good as going to, like, good concerts.
Well, then, what was the polar opposite, the most positive unifying show you
that's
ever saw?
That's hard to say. I mean, because, like, well, that's, again, a benefit of going to, like, being in a touring punk situation is a lot of the time you're
it's
going
hostile.
To these. No, I was going to say the opposite. A lot of time you're going to shows where the crowd is so excited to see this band as a real unified force.
But I think he's talking about from the spectator's point of view.
But, I mean, seeing Coxbar, you know, at, like, this place Emo's, you know, the big room at Emo's, at this punk fest, you know, when I know that the organizer had been just dying to get them, and it was, like, the hardest thing to get Coxbar to come from England. And
lots of Mohawks.
I'm sure, but they performed, you know, Shock Troops primarily, and it's like, so, and it's like the whole crowd is like, you know, singing along with this, like, oi music. Like, that felt really, but not racist oi. Just some working class blokes having a pint. You know, that was amazing. And so Coxbar was very close to it, because that kind of music is like, inherently has, like, this unifying, anthemic quality,
well,
you know?
I guess, yeah, I just can't recall too much, but, you know, if you look at
it
that way...
That was like 1,000 people. I mean, yeah. That's what I'm saying. You've seen a million shows like that because that's the bread and butter of a touring act. But when it really feels like it's a unified, like it's doesn't you don't need to do anything to make that happen, that's when it gets interesting, I think, you know?
I can't recall.
Oh, here's a Hostile performance, too, in a way. But he does more mystifying performances. Cool Keith.
How is that? How's Cool Keith?
I've seen him 3 or 4 times. And he does this thing that's more passive-aggressive than openly hostile. First of all, I went and saw him at, I think it was Metropolis or Club Soda in Montreal. And he came on so late. Like, you know, so everyone's waiting like an hour. You know, which is like, again, hostile in a passive-aggressive way. And then he performs, and it's great. But then by the midway point, he switches to this probably 20-minute-long medley of just the choruses from his songs. So.
But that's what a lot of hip-hop artists do
now.
No,
but Cool Keith is
Ice
not...
Cube, I saw Ice Cube do that exact same thing.
But maybe, but it just felt like... You know, he's not a singles performer. So he's a lyric bass. Everyone wants the lyrics with Cool Keith. Nobody wants, you know, to hear just like whatever, the chorus for,
yeah, right.
you know, no
From
chorus.
Sex style.
He has a song called
yeah,
No Chorus.
Yeah, I know. So. Okay, well, is you know what I thought? For positive unifying performance that I saw, I guess I would say Butthole Surfers with the School of Rock Kids.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that. That was interesting. Okay, and no comics that were... You don't want to do that. Do you want to talk about that? That's like...
I mean, you know, you get into like these sort of comedy...
Don't name names.
Well, I mean, I saw even Dice does something very interesting when people call out, you know, for the poems or whatever.
Yeah.
He does them and he gets off stage. Like, he just... He goes, oh, you want the poems? And then he says them, like, so perfunctorily and then leaves. Like, I saw him do 45 minutes only at Massey Hall.
I saw that show.
Yeah, and it was incredible. But it was, he just immediately cut it short as soon as people were like...
I can't believe, anyone who yells for the rhymes at a Dice
yeah,
show
so
now, it's like, dude, like, he's so much, yeah, he's
yeah,
so much
like,
more than
why
that.
Are you? So, I mean, it's a comedian's job to roll with the punches a little bit. So if you see someone have a meltdown on stage, it's like really not fun. And you don't really see it with like anybody who has like a skill level, a skill set that's like allowed for that, you know.
Okay, well, the last question is from our friend Harris Pittman.
Hi, Harris.
He had two questions, but the first one was like this thing that, you know, just the three of us went off talking about that I don't think has to do with the podcast mm-hmm. about e-punk. But the second question, I'll end the podcast with this question from Harris. Harris wants to know, where do you guys normally eat after the podcast? Great question.
Yeah.
Because we always do eat after the podcast.
Pizzaville. We're always... Danko lives right by a Pizzaville. And we're always going to Pizzaville. Sometimes we'll get...
Thai
food. Sometimes we'll get Chipotle.
That's usually
famously, we've discussed that here before. We've gotten...
But like... Thai.
Sometimes Japanese. Once in a while.
But mostly Thai.
Mostly Thai. Thai is just a very good type of food. You're supposed to eat it with a fork.
And
a
speaking
spoon.
Of which, what do you want to grab today?
I don't know yet. Vegetables. Something with vegetables. I haven't eaten any vegetables. I might get a fruit drink with it. The juice.
So Juggo juice?
Yeah, let's go to Juggo or Jamba or...
Booster Juice.
Booster Juice.
Jamba Juice is American, dude. You're too L.A. now.
Mamba Juice. Mambo Juice.
All right. This has been fun.
Ali Wong's comedy special is really funny. You guys should watch it. It's on Netflix. But if you're in L.A., I'm doing a monthly show at Night Gallery, an art gallery down there. We're not having one this month. Just kidding.
It's not even going to be up.
We're going to have one this month.
It's not even going to be up this month being May.
Probably we'll have one whenever month you're listening.
Nobody asked us a question.
When you re-asked?
No.
Well, that's okay. Let's get some food. Do not be afraid to take a nap in the day. You have the right to smash a bone in your body. You put your life inside the life of a bunny. Fuck right off and don't be so afraid. Relax.
Don't forget to take the time to grab an onion ring.